He, my pilot, hears my cry. If Christ is your co-pilot, you need to change seats. Amen. And I think about how shallow our view is of His love sometimes. I think of Jesus when He got into the boat in the stormy sea there, and the disciples said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Think about that one for a while. Oh my goodness, the Son of God came to earth because He cares. And what a Savior, as we sang. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 6. We're just going to look for a while tonight at the wonder of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight, and I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed a wonderful Savior and a great Savior, as dear God we've sung. And I pray, Father, that these have been a sweet sacrifice unto You, as our hearts have sung of Your wonder and Your goodness to us. Father, we are so blessed, God, to be Your children. So thankful for Your mercies in our lives, God. And once again tonight, dear God, we pray for the moving of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that we could be gathered together in worship this morning, that Your name could be proclaimed through Your word, in the teaching of Your word, both in the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning worship service. Thank You for Your blessings on us through the afternoon, and Father, to bring us back here together tonight. God, I pray, fill me with Your Spirit and help me simply to minister the word, to trust in You. Do, God, what no man can do, Father, but please just use me and speak through me. May Your Spirit teach us, give us understanding. May we have an awe, just a renewed awe and respect for Your word, a great thankfulness for it. And Father, help us just to be careful to thank You and praise You. We thank You for the mercies we've heard of Your goodness answered prayer. We thank You that now the requests we have put forth are before Your throne, and that You will answer them according to Your will, and that it will be for our good and for Your glory. And I pray that You just help us to ever look longingly and expectantly toward You, and to thank You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message tonight, Seek a Higher Perspective. Seek a Higher Perspective. Isaiah the prophet was born into an influential upper-class family, and he rubbed shoulders with royalty. His prophetic ministry went through the reign of four kings of Judah, ending in Hezekiah's reign. Tradition tells us that he was martyred during the reign of Manasseh, who followed Hezekiah. Isaiah, he was sought for counsel by Hezekiah, and Hezekiah followed that counsel, and the Lord gave great victory, and he urged Judah to trust the Lord and not make alliances with other nations, as he prophesied. He attacked the social ills of his day, and not because he was a social reformer, but because he saw those abuses as symptoms of spiritual declension. And and he urges Judah to seek the Lord. And so seeking a higher perspective. Every person ought to seek the ways of the Lord because, number one, other ways are perverse. Other ways are perverse. See if I go too far there. Other ways are perverse. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Jesus, he had said here in the passage that your ways are not our, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. In other words, my ways are different from your ways. Other ways are perverse. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. That word wicked means, that Hebrew rashah means morally wrong. We are morally wrong in the ways that we would choose by our own nature. And we are not aligned with the purity and the holiness of God in our own nature. And we see that so often that through the Bible that that mankind has failed and run and brought great heartache upon himself when we go toward our own thinking and our own ways and turn away from the ways of God. I think of how Moses' heart must have felt when he told Israel this in Deuteronomy 31:29, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And so what the ways they would choose, the works they would choose with their own hands would become evil. They would depart from the ways of the Lord, and God, of course, would bring judgment upon Israel. They would be taken away into captivity. And then later on, as Moses no doubt sadly testified of the wickedness that would come upon Israel, of the evil that would come upon Israel for their wickedness, the judgment that would come because they would choose their ways. Then just in the next chapter, Deuteronomy 32, Moses speaks a bit of God's ways. He says, you're going to choose your own way and corrupt your own way. And then Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. What did we just read in Isaiah 55? His word comes down like the rain from heaven. His word comes down like the snow from heaven. Give ear, hear the words of my mouth, Deuteronomy 32:1. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, as a shower is upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's his ways. And then Deuteronomy 32:5 goes on. They have corrupted themselves. That's Israel. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. That's our ways apart from our God. Other ways are perverse. We ought to seek the ways of the Lord. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "What? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me." His ways are morally higher than ours. Verse 10 says, "As the rain what cometh down, and the snow comes down from heaven." So his ways are exalted above ours. I often share with people in a salvation context. Many people think that if your good works outweigh your bad works, that maybe they have the Catholic thought there are only certain mortal sins that can condemn you to hell. No, there's just one. It only takes one way. It's doing your own way. It's not yielding to God. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have what? Turned everyone to his own way. And doesn't matter what your way is, what my way is. If it's not God's way, it's iniquity. Amen. And Jesus had to die for it. And because that's how fallen our nature is. to go your own way when your own holy creator in heaven wants you to go his way is iniquity. And by the way, he wants you to go his way for his glory, and it's the best for you, and it's the best for me. And so we need to remember that. Years ago, back in 1989, the Exxon Valdez dumped all that oil into Prince William Sound. You might remember that catastrophe. Exxon was fined $1 billion, largest oil spill from a ship anyway in the U.S., involving the U.S. there. Quite a mess to clean up. But folks tell us that those who, the backyard mechanics and those who do all their repairs and stuff at home each year, do-it-yourselfers dump 193 million gallons of used motor oil into storm drains, trash receptacles, and backlot alleys. That's almost an astounding thought to think about, that people would do that. And sometimes we treat sin like that. You know, we look at sin this way. So when someone commits a Valdez, you know, we shrink away, and that's terrible. And yet day after day, we ignore the calling of the Holy Spirit to follow him, to speak a word to someone, to minister in some way, and committing all those other sins that really, as the comparison there, are great as well. For all have sinned, what, and come short of the glory of God? We all have. We need to have that higher perspective. We need to seek God's ways because other ways are perverse. And then, secondly, we need to seek his ways because of what it does. Because God's word is precious. And it's precious because of what it does. God's word satisfies. God's word satisfies. Look at verse 10. For as the rain comes down from heaven, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. It waters the earth. And how wonderful that is. That word watereth, the Hebrew rava, means to bathe, to soak, to satisfy. And as the rain satisfies the parched earth, so God's word satisfies our parched soul. I was thinking this morning, as I got up, looked out the window, what a beautiful rain that was. It's been a dry, it's been months since we've had rain, and the ground being so dry, of course, a downpour probably wouldn't have done much good. It probably would have come down so fast and just run off, especially up where we are, that hill up there. I know it'd run off just that quick, but that rain just came down ever so lightly, ever so gently. Just soak in the ground. So that's the way God's mercy is to us, isn't it? That rain comes down. That word just settles on our hearts as we're believers. We have the Holy Spirit. What a difference, as my dear wife shared, when the Holy Spirit's in us, when the author of the word is in us. And that word comes in and begins. The author begins to teach us and show us how to apply those things to our life. It begins to soak into our soul. And as we remain under that influence. And it satisfies the soul. There's nothing as satisfying as hearing the word of God, understanding it, and then seeing the Holy Spirit empower us to do that and follow in that. There's nothing more satisfying than that, than to say, I know that I'm right with God. I know that I've done God's will today. I know that my failures are under the blood. I know that I'm going forward. There's nothing more satisfying in life than that. And it satisfies our very souls. And God calls the wicked to this kind of mercy. He says, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Why? Because his ways and thoughts won't satisfy him. He's not going to find what he's looking for. It just won't be there. Look at verse at chapter 55, the beginning of the chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And of course, he's speaking of the spiritual waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money? What? For that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not.
What are you going to seek for outside of the things that God has for you that you'll find satisfaction in? You won't find it. Come, God says, and drink of my word. Drink of fellowship with me. And what a wondrous, precious invitation that is. Because the things of man will never satisfy. Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of men are what? Never satisfied. This human flesh, this human nature can never be satisfied. It has an insatiable appetite for sin, and it cannot be satisfied therewith. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, Solomon tells us, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. And working all the time for the workaholic, you won't find the satisfaction of that. Those who seek the pleasures of this life all the time won't find satisfaction in that. Intellectual knowledge, making education a god, you won't find satisfaction in that. Find satisfaction in a relationship with our Creator through the blessed Word of God. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. I love that thought. You know, when you tend a garden, what are you doing? You're taking care of it. And you know what the fear of the Lord does? It tendeth to life. It cultivates life in our life. It gives us, first of all, spiritual life. Then it gives us what? Abundant life. If we'll fear the Lord, God will tend to our life. He'll make the garden of your life and my life prosperous and joyous and full of the fruits of His Spirit as we yield to Him. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it, listen, shall abide satisfied. Shall abide. When you're in the fear of the Lord, when God is the one that we want to serve, and we want to serve Him above all else, then He gives that satisfaction, that peace, because that's where He wants us. And that's where He can minister in our hearts and in our lives and bring us along in our Christian lives. The world's like the greyhound at the racetrack. It chases the rabbit around, but it'll never catch it. He expends all his energy not realizing that his race has been staged merely for the pleasure and entertainment of the crowd. That's the way Satan leads around the lost crowd. They're chasing this and they're chasing that. They're chasing all that their foolish, fallen, flesh desires. And when they get a hold of it, the satisfaction it disappears like it was never there. And round they go. The devil laughs and laughs and laughs and scoffs at God. And until somebody like you or I bring them the gospel, amen. And then they're broke, and they believe it, and they're broken free from those chains. And the devil hates that. And praise God. Psalm 107:8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for its goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with good things. He satisfies this longing soul. God's word. Satisfies us. What else does it do? Well, God's word, it gives life. It gives life. What does that rain that's coming down there doing? Verse 10, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, it waters the earth, and look at the end, and maketh it bring forth and bud. Makes it bring forth and bud. That's that life coming forth from the earth. God's word gives life. Spiritual life is not attained by outward works. It is nourished from within through faith in the word of God. We think about that. We drink up the word of God as the earth drinks up the rain. We find it nourishes, that our soul is nourished. Our spiritual life is nourished from within us. And we get that strength that we need. I think of Jesus speaking with that woman at the well. What a blessed illustration of soul winning. How much he cared for her. How much he loved God. How much he loved doing the will of God. How much he lived for doing the will of God. In John 4:13, there she's questioning him about their conversation, why he's talking to her and all this. And he begins talking about the water in the well there, and he begins speaking about spiritual things. And John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her,
Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the water in the well, the earthly water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know, since I've been born again, I've never asked somebody, been really, really concerned about, well, how do you think people get saved? It really doesn't matter to me what anybody else thinks, because I know I'm saved. I know that when I heard the gospel and believed the gospel, I know that his spirit came into my heart and he made a change. So I don't need another message. There's only one salvation message. I've never thirsted again for eternal life because I have it. And it's a wonderful knowledge to know that. He that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. God didn't stop at saving me. He started to change me. And by the way, he's still working. He's not done yet. And nor is he with any of us. Amen. That Holy Spirit's still working. Those fruits are still pouring forth. And by the way, the idea is a fountain comes out and what? Provides water for others. What is that water? It's the very word that we share with others. The same water of the word whereby we got saved is the same water of the word that we share with others. And the power is in the message. Amen. The power is in the word. And we share that if people will believe it. You know, we sing the song, He will forgive if they'll only believe. And the only requirement is that people would trust in that word. What a great God. What a blessed God. That water springing up. You see, we're born physically in a water birth. And life is sustained by water. My wife drinks a lot of water. And I don't drink as much as I should. But water's good for you. I mean, the best energy drink? Water. Water. But it sustains life. We think about the water birth. But then we have, so we're born in a water birth. And then to born into the world through a water birth, and then we're in the world, we grow. What? We have to have water. It's necessary. And the Word of God, you know, is that way. We're born spiritually by the water of the Word. And by the way, spiritual growth takes place how? Through the water of the Word. Through the water of the Word in our hearts and lives as we yield to that. Think about the illustration in a seed. How does it begin to germinate? It gets that drop of water on it. And when you get it wet, if you have seed and you're not ready to plant it, don't get it wet. Why? Because that little root will come out. It'll germinate. That little root will come out. And then it'll get in the ground. And what? Then pretty soon that husk is going to break off. That thing's going to spring forth. Now you have that plant rooted in there. You have that life beginning to grow. And what happens when it springs up? Oh, it don't need no more water. No, you keep on watering. No, you just keep on pouring on the water, don't you? Why? And that's what makes it grow and become fruitful. You got to water it. Give it the things that it needs. The Word of God's the same way. Born again by the water of the Word, and we grow spiritually through the water of the Word, yielding in that. It's also precious. Why? Because in God's Word, there's pardon. There's pardon. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I like that. He will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Abundantly, to heap, to multiply, to exceed. God's able to forgive more than you and I understand how much. People, well, God could never forgive me. They have no idea. They have no idea the forgiving power of God. Brother Cameron and I were talking about that after the service this morning. How that, you know, somebody does us wrong. We may forgive them, you know, but we don't forget too easy, do we? What does God do? Buried in the depths of the deepest sea. And as far as the east is from west. And he forgets and forgives and forgets our transgression. No matter how long people have been chasing that rabbit out in the world, God will forgive them. And will bring them into the fold where they can find that satisfaction and forgiveness in Christ. Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for the grace of God. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, God, the scripture says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. He's a giver of grace. We sing, grace that is greater than all our sin. And thank God it is. It's that abundant pardon that God gives as we trust his Son. He delights in mercy. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 18, the Bible says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. What a great God. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as the east is from west, far away from all power and principalities, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Aren't you glad about that? God put him in the depths of the sea and put a sign up that says what? No fishing. Amen. And thank God. And we can go on from there. Amen. We need to have that perspective on God's ways. It's not enough to turn from the ways that we perceive as wrong and seek the things that we feel are right. No. We need to be bathed in the Word of God and turn from those things that the Spirit shows us are wrong through the Word. Turn to those things that are right, that are shown to us in the blessed Word of God. So God's Word is precious because of what it does. God's Word is precious because of when it must be received. Look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord, what? While he may be found. Call ye upon him, what? While he is near. While he is near. By the way, verse 10 says, when the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, it waters the earth there in verse 10. When does the earth have to receive the water? When it comes down. When God sends it. If the earth doesn't drink up the water, then guess what? If it's not coming down from heaven, there's no more to drink up. And that's the same way that we are to receive God's word. When we hear it and understand it and the Holy Spirit moves us to make a change in our life through that, that's the time that God wants us to do that. And as we learn to honor God, we learn to do that. We learn to be diligent in following the word of God and yielding to it. The earth receives the rain when it comes to the earth. And the conditions of the heavens will determine when it will rain and when it will snow. God sends that down from heaven. And God does that work on our heart. He draws us. And we are to receive God's word when he sends it to us. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 95:7, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So it's precious. Hebrews 3:4 says, today is set forth as the day to hear his voice, and harden not your heart. Today is the day to yield to God's word. By the way, it's precious because we need to receive it when it's given. And the Bible talks about instances where folks don't receive it and they're hardened. Romans chapter 1 talks about sinners not receiving it. Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so Romans 1:24 says, God also what? Gave them up to uncleanness. Guess what? That rain didn't come down like it did before. In verse 26 of Romans, God gave them up to vile affection. In verse 28 of Romans 1, God gave them over to reprobate mind. What? At one point, the rain was coming down and the Spirit was drawing, but what? The hearts were hardened. And what did God do? What did God do? God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over and let them have their way. Oh, what a sad day when God lets you and I have our way, if it's not the way of God. And that won't, that'll only be because of our insistence. I think about that. And by the way, it also happens to saved people at times, the saints, in walking in the will of God. Remember Israel when they came up to the border of the promised land? Egypt is a picture of our salvation, the parting of the Red Sea. Promised Land is a picture of the believer going into the place of victory. There's some failures in the Promised Land, but it was primarily a victory. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. And what happened? They didn't go in because of unbelief. Did they get another chance? They didn't get another opportunity. They went and died in the wilderness. By the way, Moses went back also into the wilderness with them. And they wanted water from the rock again. You might remember that. And God gave Moses a commandment: speak to the rock, and it will bring water out to them. What did Moses do? God had commanded him to take his rod, maybe a test to see what he's going to do, if he's going to listen to God's word, if it's that precious to him. What did God say? Only one time did God say, Moses, just speak to the rock. What did he do? He took it and smote it with a staff. Took the glory away from the word of God. The command was to speak unto the rock. And God told Moses, what? You're not going into the promised land. You and Aaron, they were both in it together. You're not going into the promised land. Did God repent of that? He didn't change that, did he? Moses died a premature death. Moses had his full strength, his full eyesight. His natural force was not abated. Moses died a premature death. Because he didn't obey God at an opportune time, and God chose that he would not have another chance to do that. He's a sovereign God. He can do that. And it's precious because we don't know. God does draw the line for lost people, and he does draw the line for a believer to choose to live the victorious Christian life. We don't know when he draws those lines. We don't know when that last time the Spirit will convict us about that sin that we haven't let go, whatever it might be, and that we'll be, as Brother Dennis said, put on the shelf or set aside in some way. We don't know when that might happen. He may give us 1,000 chances. This may be our last chance to turn and confess that thing. That's why it's precious. That's why it's precious. And then also, wind up down here. God's word is, other ways are perverse, God's word is precious, and thirdly, God's word is prosperous. It's prosperous. Look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. And I'm going to wind this now. What does it do? Every time God's word is given, the Spirit reveals a couple things that it does when it's given. We read it. A, it reveals responsibility. What does the word do? He says, it comes down, it brings forth and buds, middle of verse 10, that it may what? Give seed to the sower. Did you get that? Give seed to the sower. What's that mean? That means the sower's got to go out and sow the seed. When you got seed, when God gives seed to the sower, now there's responsibility, isn't it? We got to go throw that seed out so it'll grow. We have a responsibility not only to be taking in of the Word of God and soaking in the Word of God, but we have a responsibility to be what? Pouring it out, amen? And giving it out, sharing what God's doing in our lives, sharing the plan of salvation with others as God gives us opportunity, sharing the wisdom of God with people with problems in their lives. That they can apply that. That responsibility. That word of reconciliation has been committed to us. In Titus 2:14, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's how we ought to be. And then finally, what else does God's word always do? Well, it always reveals responsibility. And it always renders reward. It always renders rewards. It's gonna bring forth according to how we receive it. If we receive it and follow it, it'll bring forth blessings. If we turn from it and go the other way, it'll bring forth, as we might say, curses. It'll bring forth sorrow. It always renders rewards. And we need to realize that. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. uh, 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. These are good things. 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And Jesus said about doing alms and praying in a godly manner, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, Matthew 6:3-4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, what? Himself shall reward thee openly. It always renders rewards. But then there's negative rewards. There's negative rewards. In 2 Samuel 3:39, David says, I am this day weak, though anointed king. These men of the sons of Zeruiah be too hard for me. Joab was a murderer, and there's just some things that David couldn't handle. And David said about Joab and the sons of Zeruiah, the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. There's a reward for the wicked as well. Remember that thief on the cross? For we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're getting what we deserved. Paul said about Alexander the coppersmith in 2 Timothy 4:14 that he said, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And so God's word always rewards. We may be a Christian, we may go astray. And I'll guarantee you that Moses regretted that span of life that he had to live from Jordan and then back into the wilderness, knowing he couldn't go back over into the promised land. I bet he didn't have quite the joy that he had before that. When he asked a couple times, he kind of hinted at it. What did God say? The discussion's over. The decision is made. I'm going to let you see it, but you're not going in. I'm sure Moses regretted that. He couldn't go back and change it. And if we miss out on the blessings and the fullness of the Christian life through our decisions, going our own way, you know what? We're going to regret it. It's going to bring more sorrow in our life than God wanted us to have. It's going to bring some... God was still with Moses. That's how gracious he is. He was still with Moses. Still used him. And he will still us too. But we'll just be missing out on some things that God had for us and God intended for us. Might we honor and receive and apply and give out the blessed word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Oh, how precious it is, like the rain and the snow coming down that waters the earth. God, our very life depends upon your watering the earth. And dear God, our spiritual life depends upon the water of the word and the gospel. And our spiritual growth depends upon growing in the grace and knowledge of thee in the water of thy word. Father, I pray you'd help us to receive it, to be thankful for your word. It's come down from heaven. The living word, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word incarnate, and now your preserved word in your love letter to us, in your letter of wisdom, and how to live this life, how to prepare for heaven, how to be used for your glory, how to know you in a greater way is all there for us. Provide it all through your Son, through your Spirit, through your word. And dear God, we do thank you for that. Help us to grow in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.